Thank you for coming. I guess since they put the Bhagavad Gita here, I'm supposed to read from the Bhagavad Gita. But we'll read from Bhagavad Gita. Most of my classes are Bhagavad Gita classes anyhow. So this is chapter 13, text number
26.
Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death. Purport. This verse is particularly applicable to modern society because in modern society there is practically no education in spiritual matters. Some of the people may appear to be atheistic or agnostic or philosophical, but actually there is no knowledge of philosophy. As for the common man, if he is a good soul, then there is a chance for advancement by hearing. This hearing process is very important. Lord Chaitanya, who preached Krishna consciousness in the modern world, gave great stress to hearing because if the common man simply hears from the authoritative sources, he can progress. Especially according to Lord Chaitanya, if he hears the transcendental vibration,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
It is stated, therefore, that all men should take advantage of hearing from realized souls and gradually become able to understand everything. The worship of the Supreme Lord will then undoubtedly take place. Lord Chaitanya said that in this age no one needs to change his position, but one should give up the endeavor to understand the absolute truth by speculative reasoning. One should learn to become a servant of those who are knowledge of the Supreme Lord. One is fortunate enough to take shelter of a pure devotee, hear from him about self-realization, and following his footsteps, one will gradually be elevated to the position of a pure devotee. In this verse, particularly, the process of hearing is strongly recommended, and this is very appropriate. Although the common man is often not as capable as so-called philosophers, faithful hearing from an authoritative person will help one transcend this material existence and go back to Godhead, back to home.
Anye tve vama janata shudvanye byakupasite tepi chati tarantyeva mrityum shuti parayana.
Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Puristaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamite Namane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Bacharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Satarne.
Here in this verse, the hearing process is stressed, and the hearing process is, as we know, it's part of a culture to learn how to hear. When Srila Prabhupada was in Moscow, he was talking to Professor Kotowski, and he was explaining to Professor Kotowski that there is no really difference between your philosophy and our philosophy. Then your philosophy, you accept Lenin as the supreme, and our philosophy, you accept Krishna as the supreme. So you're following Lenin as the supreme, and we're following Krishna as the supreme. But somehow or another, you have to accept a leader and then follow them. Are you trying to get by or in or? They can come. this room here. Hare Krishna. Of course, there is a great difference between following Lenin as the supreme and following Krishna as the supreme. If you follow Lenin, then you'll wind up where he is. Right now, Lenin is on the Lenin Square, and his body is rotting away. And he's probably hovering around there, accepting the offerings. Probably a little anxiety that his philosophy is not so popular anymore. And Krishna is in the spiritual world and in everyone's heart and every atom, but he's enjoying the rasa dance with so many different devotees. So depending where we want to go, either towards Lenin or Mick Jagger, or if we want to go back to Krishna, that depends upon our choice. But we have to accept someone as a leader and then follow them. And accepting someone as a leader means that we have to hear from them. Otherwise, how can you follow someone if you don't know what their directions are? Therefore, we're hearing from Krishna through a line of disciple succession, and Srila Prabhupada, as the founder Acharya, has explained to us the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and his disciple succession of Goswamis. The Goswamis, Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghuya Go, Shri Jiva Gopala Go. They've handed down the teachings of the Panchatattva, Lord Chaitanya, and our disciple succession, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada has explained, are those devotees who are delivering the teachings of Lord Chaitanya through the six Goswamis. Specifically, we're known as Rupanugas. And of course, those teachings are that Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we're all his servants. Very simple teachings. But in the material world, very difficult to understand. Because somehow or another, since time immemorial, we've acquired a different conception that I am the body and that somehow or another I have to struggle with this body and provide it with all its whatever it needs. And that's the basic purpose of my existence. So to take another purpose of existence, that I am not the body, that this body is supposed to become an instrument for Krishna through Krishna's representatives, and that way I can be a servant to revive my relationship with Krishna, that's not so very easy to understand. Mostly in Prabhupada's books, he explains that this Krishna consciousness is not so easy. And in his lectures, he usually says it's very easy. Because if we thought it was difficult, we wouldn't do it. And if we thought it was easy, then we'd do it, but we wouldn't take it very seriously. So Prabhupada would encourage us by saying it was easy, and he'd tell us to read his book so we could find out how difficult it really is. But in one sense, it's not very difficult if we stay in the association of devotees. We keep the association of devotees, especially if we read Prabhupada's books, make the basis of our association with the devotees, Prabhupada's books, then everything will gradually become clear. We may associate with the devotees, but as soon as we forget Prabhupada and his teachings, then our relationships usually are not on the transcendental platform. And because we're carrying around with our material conceptions of life we've had since time immemorial, which are not necessarily completely devotional. After all, unless we're fully Krishna conscious, unless we come at least to the platform of Bhava Bhakti, Uttama Bhakti, we really don't know Krishna that well. We may know something about Krishna, but Krishna is not so easy to understand. As I was saying yesterday in the class, Vedaham Samatitani Vartmanarni Cha Arjuna Bhavishami Tubhutani Mam Tu Vedana Kasjuna. To try to understand someone that knows everything in the past, the present, and the future, when we start thinking about that, it's quite inconceivable. We can't even remember, just like if someone asked me right now what everyone's name in the room was, I'd have a very hard time to remember what everyone's name is. Most devotees I would. My memory's not that bad. But, But to understand who we were, who, if someone said, I know who you were in the last trillion lifetimes that you had. And I know what you were doing eternally in the spiritual world before you came here. That's quite impressive. Sometimes you may go to an astrologer, they may tell you something about what you did previously. But if you go to Krishna, he can tell you everything about what you did eternally. Not only you, but everyone. Not only this universe, and all the universes, and all the spiritual world, any past, present, and future. So after a while, when we start thinking about it, our minds reach their limit, and we can't really cross beyond it. That's it. It just turns off, trying to conceive of what Krishna is like. And then immediately we think of someone so powerful, well, he's probably going to take advantage of it. Because in the material world, if someone becomes very powerful, then immediately they take advantage of others with that power. So to conceive of a person who has unlimited wealth, unlimited strength, unlimited beauty, unlimited knowledge, unlimited fame, and at the same time is simply utilizing everything he has to please his devotees without any attachment whatsoever, it's pretty hard to conceive of someone like that. But that's who Krishna is supposed to be. And that's what we're hearing about. And we have to become qualified to, our philosophy is to qualify us to become receptive so that we can actually experience Krishna simply by the hearing process. If the mind becomes absorbed in thinking about Krishna in a mood of devotion, because thinking about Krishna, the spiritual world means not just Krishna's activities, but all his activities are manifested out of devotion. Krishna's devotion for his devotees and Krishna's devotees' devotion for Krishna. The whole atmosphere there is devotional. It is not simply God, whatever they conceive of God, lording it over so many living entities and living entities going, you know, thank you, yes, God, whatever you say. No, it is an atmosphere of devotion. Therefore, even if we hear about Krishna's pastimes, if we don't have the mood of devotion, of service, then we won't experience what they're all about. We'll just simply hear them from our point of view. Simultaneously with hearing about Krishna, we also have to develop the attitude of service. And that's called the disciple succession. Prabhupada said that, or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that prani patena, one has to fall down, as we've heard from Radhika Mahaprabhu, prani patena. Prani patena. Pra means to approach, ni means to fall down, patena, or to fall, and patena, pat means from the word to fall. So to come forward and then fall down. Ni means to go forward, and then pat means to fall down. And pra is an intensifier. So one has to do it. One has to develop an attitude of surrender. So that attitude of surrender we already have. It is not that we have to develop an attitude of surrender. We simply have to change our attitude of surrender from this body, which we're quite surrendered to, we're practiced to, our minds and our bodies, senses, since time immemorial, we've been completely surrendered. If you examine anyone's activities in the material world, you can see how devotionally they are inclined towards their bodies and minds. Without any hesitation, even if they know it's wrong, if it's for the sake of their body, they'll do anything. And for their if their mind says it's a good idea, it probably is, as far as they're concerned. They don't have to think. Most people are trying to come to the spontaneous platform of material gratification of their desires. Therefore, as we're trying to serve the deities here, offering so many offerings a day, so the those who are not Krishna conscious, they're also offering so many offerings to their stomach every day, in the fire of digestion, fire of sacrifice. They're bathing their body, just like doing abhishek. They're doing so many different things to worship their body. They're meditating upon their pastimes in this material world. Completely absorbed in the meditation, thinking about, you know, how wonderful their activities are, and etc. But this is just like a dream. Yani sha sabhutanam yasyam jagrati bhutani tasyam jagrati bhutani sani sha pashutomune. We as devotees were aspiring to wake up. And Srila Prabhupada, he was actually awake, and because he was awake, therefore his literature that he's writing is a perfect manifestation of a person who's awake. Perfect directions of a person who's awake. And therefore our society is principally trying to understand Prabhupada's directions. So that hearing from Prabhupada, we can understand how to develop a devotional attitude towards Krishna, towards Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his disciple succession, so that we can also wake up. And by hearing about Krishna in that devotional atmosphere, factually associate with Krishna, and by experiencing the transcendental bliss and love of that atmosphere, invoke our own transcendental happiness and love, so that we can begin our real life again. This dedication and absorption in service to our bodies and minds has to be regulated in the material world. People want to become more and more absorbed in this glorification of their bodies, their minds, their societies, their football team, their favorite rock player, rock star, all due to the fact that they think that this will increase their satisfaction, their false ego. But by hearing, we have to become convinced that we have no other mission in life other than to serve the lotus feet of the previous acharyas. And by serving the lotus feet, we can get access to the devotional atmosphere of Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada has expressed that in many ways within our books. We have really nothing different to say. There's nothing more to say. Prabhupada is not creating his own philosophy. He's repeating the words of Krishna coming to the simple succession in a way that hopefully is easier for us to understand. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago. He told everyone to surrender to him. As soon as we hear the word surrender, immediately we become very disturbed. I think as one rock star was singing, "Bow down, mister." So this is very distasteful for a conditioned soul, the idea of bowing down before anyone. Because we're afraid as soon as I bow down, someone will kick me. And probably they might. People who bow down, they're considered to be fit to be trampled on. So this idea of surrender, we're very hesitant to surrender. But surrender to Krishna, if Krishna puts his lotus foot on our head, we'll be quite ecstatic. We don't have to worry about being trampled by Krishna. Our supreme authority, Srimati Radharani, says she doesn't care if she's trampled by Krishna. Because everything about Krishna is quite blissful. Krishna has no, he doesn't step on people who are unqualified. One has to be very qualified to get stepped on by Krishna. And if one does somehow or another, if one is not so qualified, if somehow or another one comes in contact with Krishna, he becomes benefited. Therefore, this idea of surrender, those who are preaching Krishna consciousness, and we're all preachers of Krishna consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh amara aga guruhana tari desh. Whoever you meet, try to tell them something about Krishna. Study Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and then try to tell them something about Krishna. In this way, become a spiritual master and liberate this world. Of course, we have this formal disciple succession, and we have our taste of ISKCON's understanding of formal disciple succession, as we've understood it from Prabhupada so far. So that has to be understood and respected, because that's also part of the process to help our restless minds who are always reluctant to accept any authority, to somehow or another get some basis of authority, that we have to accept some words as being not necessarily true, because most of us, we don't accept things we don't understand. And we don't understand quite a bit. Therefore, this idea that you have to accept as true what the spiritual master or what authority is saying, that's not possible, because we can't accept something as true that we don't understand. Therefore, truth or understanding is not considered the first most important thing. The most important thing is developing an attitude of respect and surrender. Of course, we have to understand that much. Therefore, our main philosophy is not so much about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. Because if someone told Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, we may think that's very nice, but that will not necessarily give us the proper mood of appreciating or at least experiencing fully what Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are actually like. Therefore, our philosophy is really about surrendering to the instructions of Krishna coming down through the simple succession, whether the person is perfect or not. As I gave the example, I think, the last time. Just like, for instance, if you're trying to learn some particular skill. I don't know what a good skill is, but for instance, if you want to, I gave the example of golf. I personally don't play golf, but I think most people are familiar with golf. You know something about it. You take a stick and you hit a ball with it. So part of golf is that you have to hit the ball with a stick. Now, the idea is to hit the ball into a hole. Make it simplified. It's quite a simple game, actually. Now, someone may not be able to hit the ball into a hole every time on the first shot. They may not be perfect, the golfer. But still, if they know how to play better than we do, then we can take instructions from them, and that way our golf game will improve. If we wait for the perfect golf player before we play golf, we may never learn to play golf, because that's not a bad idea. But for those who are interested in learning to play golf, they have to take instructions from those who may not be necessarily perfect. So similarly, the instructions for Krishna coming down the simple succession, we say the Prabhupada understood everything perfectly because he was completely dedicated to the service of his spiritual master. His perfection was not demonstrated in his expertise, of which he was expert in many things, whether it was cooking or speaking or writing. He was expert in many things, but his perfection was that he was 100% surrendered to the instructions of his spiritual master, especially in the idea of practicing Krishna consciousness and distributing it to others. And he was so expert, that's why we have a society of Krishna consciousness. And even if there are other societies around the world, the best they're doing is trying to follow Prabhupada also, to some degree. So similarly, if we're going to make progress, the best thing to do is make progress through absorption in Prabhupada's teachings and example. But when we read Prabhupada's books, then we may only understand a certain amount, and others who have practiced more than we have may understand more than we have, and therefore, if we hear from them, we may get insights in how we can practice better. In other words, how to become more faithful to Prabhupada's instructions and examples, how to understand them better, so that gradually we can come to the same position that Prabhupada was at, that is surrender to his spiritual master, and therefore because his spiritual master was absorbed and surrendered to the disciple succession, as we go down through the six Goswamis in the mood of separation, and the Panchatattva in mood of separation from Krishna and Vrindavan, therefore we can enter into that mood of Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, with the extra benefit of experiencing it through the mood of separation from the Panchatattva, especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the atmosphere he created had hundreds and thousands, if not millions of people, chanting the holy name. It wasn't simply that he was dancing and chanting very nicely, but the atmosphere that he brought with him was so transcendental due to his love and separation that factually he brought Vrindavan wherever he went. And similarly, if we follow the teachings of the disciple succession, then we'll be connected through the disciple succession, through the feelings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva, and we'll be able to experience Vrindavan exactly in the same way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing it, and all his followers experiencing in proportion to their surrender to him. So the clearest direction has been given by Srila Prabhupada of what will please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is a preacher and a practicer of Krishna consciousness. He spread Krishna consciousness to a certain extent, and Prabhupada, with the association of the Panchatattva, he spread Krishna consciousness even further than Lord Chaitanya did personally. Of course, all by the mercy of the disciple succession, Lord Krishna and the Panchatattva. So similarly, we can also, if we give up our false identification as being other than their servants, we can become their instruments, and therefore by becoming their instruments, we can do something significant or even more significant than even Srila Prabhupada did by their mercy. Of course, it'll be very difficult to do that. It is not so easy to be so surrendered, but that is our goal. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're being trained for, to become an instrument to not get in the way of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya can do everything. The Vaishnavas can do everything. Our disciple succession, Panchatattva, the six Goswamis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they can do everything. And they can do it through us if we just don't get in the way. Therefore, Prabhupada would say that the job of the spiritual master, or the spiritual master, he doesn't think, or she doesn't think, that when they give instructions to their followers, their disciples, that they're actually giving the instruction. They know that it's their spiritual master within their heart and the super soul. They're giving the instruction, and when the follower follows that instruction, then, and performs the devotional activity, then the spiritual master learns from his or her disciple how to become a better servant of his spiritual master. In other words, no one in our disciple succession thinks themselves to be a spiritual master. They think themselves to be the servants of their spiritual master. And by allowing to becoming an instrument for their spiritual master, they may be able to do something good for others and for themselves. This is also Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Rupa Goswami's teachings in the beginning of the Nectar of Devotion. So this is reality. The Paramatma, Krishna, is in our heart. He's instructing everyone. Everyone is following his directions. Most people are following his directions to go to hell because that's where they want to go in Kali Yuga. And some people are fortunate. They not only have the Paramatma's directions, but they're getting Paramatma's directions through the disciple succession. We accept the Paramatma's directions through the disciple succession, and it's guaranteed we'll go back to the spiritual world. Those who don't have that, we could say a transcendental filter, transcendental encouragement coming through the disciple succession, their future is very dark. They may have a little bit. Lord Jesus Christ is a little bit there in society, not very much. Lord Mohammed is there. Can't really say who else is there. Very little. Therefore, people aren't eating each other on the street so far. There's a little civilization left. Some people are more God-conscious, other people less God-conscious. But the real hope is Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya coming in this age, giving us the opportunity to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, And we learn how to chant in this succession, learn how to become a servant of Krishna and his representatives. Then the result is that we'll be able to do something good for ourselves, even in Kali Yuga, and good for others. Otherwise, there is no hope. The chanting of the holy names is the only method. And to learn how to chant nicely, we have to take shelter of Prabhupada and his teachings. Prabhupada and his teachings, not only in his books, but in his instructions how to run a society, which is not really different from the books. It's all in the books. Prabhupada didn't invent something new. Gurukul is not something new. Even Krishna went to Gurukul. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gurukul. Farms are not something new. These things are not new. Deity worship is not something new. It's been Prabhupada simply tried to introduce eternal principles in a very confused world. So we have to understand what the principles are, try to see how to apply them in our own lives, and then gradually we get experienced, learn how to encourage other people to apply them in their lives too. So that eventually we become qualified, so when we hear about Krishna, we can associate with him, and by associating with him, come back to our real identity, wake up again, and see how nice reality is. Reality is wonderful. Right now we're not quite in reality, but we're getting there. So we have to encourage ourselves and others to stay in the path, no matter how much it takes, so that one day, gradually we'll see what reality is, and we'll think, oh, it's quite nice. We're very, very fortunate. If we're going to, say, Amsterdam, if you have a map and you see that now you're in Antwerp or now you're in Brussels, you know you're getting there. You may not be there yet, but you know you're on the right path. And if you keep on going, eventually you'll get there. If we experience some ecstasy, some enlightenment, some detachment, some improvement, then we know we're on the right path. And that will encourage us so that one day that we are there. And maybe if we're a coward boy, Krishna will come and shake our hands and congratulate. Welcome. That's like Brahma. He shook his hand and congratulated him. Or a Gopakumara, Krishna came and embraced him. So one day that will happen to us too. We just have to keep on the path. So thank you very much. Any questions about what I just said? Yes.
It's the second time I hear you say Lord Muhammad. I don't know what did Lord Muhammad actually say. I never heard.
Oh, don't worry about it. He said ultimately he said to worship God. Yes. Most of us probably don't know so much about Lord Muhammad, but that's right. Yes.
Do we choose the guru, or does the guru choose us?
Well, I guess it's the general idea is that you hear from someone, try to understand what they're saying, and then you follow them, their instructions. So that's voluntary. No one can force you to hear from someone. No one can force you to understand what they're saying. And no one can really force you to follow completely what their instructions are. So that's voluntary. Of course, if no one was speaking, someone didn't make the effort to speak, then you wouldn't have the opportunity to hear either. So it's a reciprocal relationship. Anything else? Yes.
Is it good to practice bowing down even if the internal attitude is not quite there?
Yes. If you're bowing down to the right person. If you're bowing down, just like people bow down to the wrong things too. But bowing down, everyone's bowing down to something. It's bowing down to Krishna or his representatives. That's very good. As far as the internal attitude not being there, well, Prabhupada said if you don't feel like dancing and you dance, then gradually you will feel like dancing. Mm-hmm. If someone is repeating the words of Krishna coming into simple succession and we bow down, that will simply increase. It's not that it's for the benefit of the person who's speaking, it's for our benefit, so that we learn how to become more submissive to the words. Just like when we bow down, we're actually bowing down to the super soul within someone's heart. Not exactly just to the soul, but to the super soul, because everyone is really an instrument for the Super Soul. So if we bow down to the Super Soul, then we'll be able to hear his instructions much more easily. If we think we're bowing down to someone's personality or whatever else we think we're bowing, that's not very good. That won't be so helpful. Unless they're completely a transcendental personality, completely representing Krishna. But still, we're bowing down. Our general idea is that the Super Soul is in everyone's heart. When we bow down, we're offering respect to the person as a temple for Vishnu. So we offer respect to all living entities. But due to our formality of our formal worship, we just generally do certain times when we bow down. But actually the attitude should be bowing down to the Super Soul in everyone's heart. That everyone is worshipable as a temple because Vishnu is in the heart, all living entities. Yes.
You mentioned that Srila Prabhupada didn't invent deity worship, neither did he invent the chanting nor the philosophy. He just teaches the eternal philosophy to people in America or in the world. But nowadays, people say, they say, well, our Guru Maharaj gives some higher teachings or better teachings or
what's the higher teachings that they get?
Well, Gopi Bhava usually.
Yeah, that's nice. If you can get Gopi Bhava, then.
Or actually, Prabhupada was one of the teachers.
Prabhupada is also, Prabhupada's teaching us how to actually get Gopi Bhava. Gopi Bhava is a mood of service to Krishna. It's not just, Gopi Bhava means service. It's not that the gopis, as we see on the altar, they're just standing around, just, you know, Gopi Bhava. They're always doing some service to Radharani Krishna. And Radharani is doing some service, and Krishna is doing his thing, too. So Gopi Bhava means service. So what is the service that the gopis are doing in this age? Well, when the Panchatattva came, they didn't just sit around talking about Gopi Bhava. They went and did Harinam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was preaching. So that's, Prabhupada is also giving us Gopi Bhava through the same process. Through the process of preaching and following the process. Service to Krishna. And one becomes 100% absorbed in the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's the way of getting Gopi Bhava. Yes, we do want that. That we want that, the feelings of the gopis. And that comes after a sakti. It's not that you just jump. Gopi Bhava is given to you. You know, one day I'm in just trying to learn, associate with the devotees, trying to keep my association with the devotees, avoid criticizing them and offending them. Next day I meet someone, I get Gopi Bhava. No, Gopi Bhava comes from Adal Shara, the Tasadu Sangha, the Bhajna Kriya, Anartha Nivritisya, the To Nishtas, Ruchistata, the Tashaktis, the To Bhavas. So Bhava is a stage after learning how to properly associate with the devotees, so we become inspired for service, for Bhajna. And then we do our service in such a nice way. We're so nice to all the devotees. We're preaching so nicely to the innocent. We're avoiding the atheists so nicely. We get free from anarthas. And then our service becomes steady. And we get a taste for devotional service, which later on becomes attachment and matures in bhava. And when that bhava matures, we get gopi bhava. So that may take a little while. So anyone who's saying, I'm going to give you Gopi Bhava immediately, well, they don't know what the process is. They should read Rupa Goswami's books, find out what the process is. So if they don't know what the process is, it's doubtful they'll be able to give you the process either, by which you can really get Gopi Bhava. So Prabhupada knew the process, and he gave it to us, but we can't expect it overnight. But we're on the path to getting that. Otherwise, you can go to Vrindavan, Prabhupada would say, and there's so many people who are imagining they have Gopi Bhava. And after some time, you know, their real Bhava is displayed. And it's not Gopi Bhava. Anything else? Yes?
Sometimes, like, devotees, they recognize their spiritual master as Sadhguru. They experience that. But not everybody is able to experience that.
What does Sadguru mean?
Well, Well, from what I understand, is that they understand that this person is eternally connected with Krishna and is bringing them to Krishna.
Well, what else is anyone doing if they're preaching? Yeah, everyone is connected with Krishna. Who's not connected with Krishna? Even the demons are connected with Krishna. But as far as someone being on the eternal platform, how would we, if we're not on the eternal platform, how will we know if someone's on the eternal platform or not? It's not possible. We have to go, when we're on the eternal platform, then we'll see who else is on the eternal platform with us. Other than that, we just try to see from our experience that this person is saying something that makes sense, I'm following it, and I'm getting a result. Therefore, I'm developing some faith that it's good to follow the person. And when the faith is mature enough, then I accept initiation, and I agree to follow the person even if I don't understand exactly what they're saying. Or I don't exactly know where they're at, what platform they're on. But at least I know if I follow their instructions, then I'll make some progress. Therefore, our accepting of spiritual master is not on the premise necessarily that the person is 100%, I'm 100% sure that they're in the spiritual world. Because I can't know if someone's in the spiritual world unless I'm in the spiritual world too. But at least I know that this person is giving me instructions by which I'll go to the spiritual world. But we should have some faith that this person is a Shraya, he's steady in devotional service, or at least he's more steady than I am, from what I can understand. Therefore we accept surrender. If one is interested, Tadguru Prapadyante Jignasa Shreya Uttama. If one is interested or curious about the ultimate goal of life, then one has to accept authority to get there. Because everything is based on authority. Because we rejected Krishna as an authority, therefore we had to accept his body and mind as an authority. And if I want to accept Krishna as the authority, I have to accept his representatives also as authorities. So the spiritual master, anyone who's taking the role of Diksha Guru, for instance, as we usually take a spiritual master, his service is not to convince people that he's on the eternal platform. It's convince people that his followers, that Krishna is the eternal supreme person that everyone has to surrender to. And that we have to surrender to everyone who's giving Krishna's instructions. We have to be trained up how to recognize Krishna's instructions, that they're coming through all the devotees, so we follow them in all circumstances. Yes.
If we take a Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru and we kind of, we both take them very seriously, what is the big difference between the one and the other?
We big difference.
Both take them equally serious. Or as much faith, as much surrender to either.
The difference is, one is the representative of Govinda Dev, the other one is the representative of Madan Mohan.
Not so much difference?
No, there's a difference. The difference is that Acharyamam vijaniyam nava manyata karichit namartya suya bhujeta sarvadeva mayo guru. According to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the person who gives these principal sambandha is the Diksha Guru. Of course, in our society, Diksha Guru means, principal sambandha means coming through Prabhupada. And that's supposed to be checked by the authorities, because the Diksha Guru is in itself is not the ultimate authority within our society, in one sense, within the society. It's supposed to be checked by the GBC to make sure that, or the GBC body, whatever, the authorities, that it's in line with Prabhupada's teachings. In any case, they give this sambandha, which is supposed to be, everyone's supposed to be giving the same sambandha, who's giving diksha. And the shiksha guru, he's supposed to give further instructions to help us learn how to apply that sambandha in practical life. So that's called abhideya. Is that clear? But it's probably said that if the diksha guru is giving one instruction, and the shiksha guru is giving some instruction, then it's not a very good shiksha guru. the Shiksha Gurus have to give the same instruction. They have to further the instructions, not change them. And if there's some difference between the Diksha and Shiksha Guru, they should work it out themselves. It shouldn't be the disciple who's trying to figure it out. They should work it out. And ultimately, our authorities, our governing body, is supposed to adjust everything. But if things are very not clear, anyhow, that's what it's supposed to be. They're supposed to work cooperatively. There's only one teacher, Krishna. There's only one spiritual master, and everyone else is his representative. And this, the super soul within the heart, he has the same message. He doesn't change his message according to different hearts. He's not so liberal. He has the same message in everyone's heart. He knows exactly what he wants people to do. He knows exactly the philosophy. But due to our attachment for sense gratification, due to our coverings, we don't hear the message of the super soul so clearly, so sometimes it appears that there is some difference of opinions according to how receptive we are to the message. But if there's some difference of opinion, there has to be some kind of working it out so it becomes clear what Krishna really wants. Is that clear? But it's quite simple. I mean, Krishna wants us to remember him. Manmana, Bhava, become his devotee, worship him, offer respects to him, surrender to him. That's what he wants. Well, everyone else is trying to encourage us to do that. Anything else? Yes.
I was wondering, if one receives the instructions from authority or from the spiritual master, and one is somehow or another not able to follow this instruction completely, and one tries to accept it, how can one protect oneself still sees the value of this instruction, not to...
Well, you'll find out what the value of the instruction is by following it. If it's a good instruction, then you'll get the value by following it. It's an opportunity. If we look at it, it's like, I never really wanted to become a slave, but somehow or another I became a slave. Therefore, they give me so many instructions which I really don't really want to follow, and I can't follow anyhow. So, my main business right now is just feeling guilty about not following the instructions. So then I'm start thinking about how would it be if I wasn't feeling so guilty? So if I didn't have so many instructions, I wouldn't feel so guilty. No, instructions are an opportunity. And if we hear the instruction, try to understand it, and see how far we can follow it, rather than not the fact that I can't really follow it, so I might as well forget about it. Now, if we forget about it, then we're just missing an opportunity, that's all. And if we don't know how to follow it, then we should inquire whether I need a different instruction or how to follow it according to my present circumstance. And by trying to follow it according to my present capacity, then my capacity will increase. And then I'll gain the power to follow it, that and other instructions more carefully. And I'll also get the happy result of following it. I'll become Krishna conscious. So we shouldn't lament that I can't follow fully the instruction. We should be happy that at least I got some instruction that's positive. And see how I should be happy to see how far I can follow it. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much.
Now we read the offerings of the devotees. Mother Jai Bhagavan, would you like to read your offering first?
Please open that later, she's working on a cake.
Alright.
I asked Rebecca to read your offering first, but she said she wants to come back and read herself.
Yeah.
Therefore, Ananda Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to your holiness, whose only focus in life is to live according to his divine message and to encourage others to do the same. Radhesh is blessed to regularly host your effulgent presence, emanating satisfaction and happiness in Krishna conscious life. In the Nectar of Devotion, I have read that one who passes his life in this way will certainly achieve the Lord's supreme abode. Thank you for allowing us to honor you on this day. Thank you for being a bona fide, exemplary representative, Srila Prabhupada.
in these troubled times, it is most reassuring to observe your steadiness, simplicity, and sobriety in practicing Krishna consciousness. You're very practically demonstrating how Krishna consciousness is most natural and pleasing. May we be blessed with following your footsteps.
Thank you, Mother Jayabrata. Of course, I'm not going to say a whole lot about every offering other, because usually we're always late every year. But I guess every year that we're here, we can see that those devotees who stay here continue to do service to Krishna, that they're gradually becoming residents of the spiritual world, becoming more enlightened and enlivened in Krishna consciousness. Every year we can expect our doubts to become dissipated a little bit more, maybe a little bit more and a lot more. And therefore, the devotees become more and more appreciative of the other devotees. Of course, we spend a little time glorifying one particular devotee, and we know that the real glorification goes to Prabhupada ultimately, but this is an opportunity to appreciate how every devotee, because they're following, because they're here, and trying to follow the teachings the best they can, trying to understand them and follow them, they're actually glorifiable. And the symptom of their becoming even more glorifiable is that they've learned how to glorify other devotees, even those who are aspiring to become devotees. So that's very nice. So Mother Jayabhadra is steadily here, year after year, doing service, becoming more of a preacher and a leader, getting more confidence. So we can see her making progress steadily every year also. So of course we know that's due to the nice association of devotees here, nice deity worship, instructions of Prabhupada, ultimately due to the blessings that Prabhupada is giving all of us. So we should always remember that. Try and take shelter of Prabhupada's instructions and his blessing, take advantage of his blessings more, and try and encourage others to do the same. Thank you.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances at your lotus feet, O Lord Srila Prabhupada. Every year a disciple should write a Vyasapuja offering, glorifying his spiritual master's good qualities. It was never a problem to write about your good qualities, because you had many. Last year I wrote a list of a devotee's 26 qualities, and it was not a problem to find them all in you. This year I will write again about your good qualities I recognize in you, because respecting a devotee's good qualities is not a fault, or repeating a devotee's good qualities is not a fault, but will purify the one who is glorifying and the audience. You are very regulated, you are always there for the whole program. You are very clean, you bathe 3 times a day. You are a controlled eater, you never eat after the noon offering and never overeat. You are very determined, you never give up instructing us. You are a teacher. Whenever I am with you, you are always having something to teach. Even if you go swimming, you teach a new way of swimming. You are expert. Expert means one who can do many different things well. You are an astrologer. You know about Hatha Yoga and Ayurveda and other health systems, and etc. You are a scholar of Srila Prabhupada's books. You have a very good memory. You know the Bhagavad Gita by heart. You keep your body in good shape for devotional service. You are very fit for your age. You are always planning to spread Krishna consciousness. You are patient. You wait for the right time to execute the plan or teach a person. You are never undisturbed. I never saw you angry or uncontrolled. Fixed. You are always instruct and follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. You never deviate an inch. You look if you're always enjoying Krishna consciousness. I could go on describing your qualities, which I should, because it is the medicine for my envious nature, but I will stop here. Guru Maharaj, kindly be merciful and patient on me, your fallen servant.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Prema Siddhi Nanda is always absorbed in service. with his good wife. They're always doing so many things for the deity worship here and so many responsibilities. So it's nice to see how he's become more and more convinced about Krishna consciousness. Although he was always steady in his service, but now he's become more and more convinced about Krishna consciousness. He used to be almost like a little bit of a terror in Radha Desh for some time, but now he's become like a puppy dog. Never hear any critical remark from him anymore. So, of course, he's part of the management. Maybe that's the reason. Never criticizes the management anymore. He's always working for the benefit of the devotees here. Always very steady in his service. And you can see the beautiful deity worship. It's one of the reasons why Radha Desh is respected and appreciated throughout the society, because of its nice devotional attitude, especially the deity worship here, how everything is nicely taken care of. So I'm very happy to see him making progress every year and becoming more and more humble and devoted to Krishna and to Prabhupada and his instructions. So, Hare Krishna.
Dear Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. It is difficult to imagine the extent of the benefits of the celebrating of the Vyasa Puja festival for the disciples of someone who by his teachings and instructions can inspire one to begin with or continue his devotional service, and who substantiates that with his personal example. The saying goes, Guru is one, always, at all time, and Vyava Sayatmika Budir, a.k.a. Hakuru Nandana. The persons who are Krishna conscious are resolute and have their intelligence fixed. It is so inspiring to see that there are persons who are determined and in their aim, and more so, who are able to bring that over to others as well. We should have, as disciples, so much appreciation for that fact that we would be willing to lose our life in the execution of his orders. But how unfortunate we are that we only very reluctantly are able to put our personal desires aside and only in a grudging mood accept that service upon our heads, like a stubborn child not willing to cooperate in that mission from which it is said that Neha Vikrama Nasosti
Pratyavayo
Navidyate. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear, and in which there is no loss or diminution. It can only be concluded that we fall in the category of Bhogai Svarya Prasaktanam Parita Chetasa, those who are too much absorbed or attached to sense enjoyment and material opulences, and thus became bewildered. Maybe this all sounds theoretical and book-like, a few verses from Bhagavad Gita, but I can elaborate on it by practical example. The first time that I saw His Holiness Pralananda Maharaj was in 94 or 95 with a same situation like this in Vyasa Puja festival, also in Radha Desh. And in those days Vyasa Puja festivals were celebrated more extensively than now. Not like now in the room of a disciple, but in the temple building itself, And Maharaj just came back from his travelings and was welcomed with an enthusiastic kirtan by a big crowd of devotees. A puja was offered and flowers were given to everyone so that the devotees could offer those in turn to Maharaj's feet. I was the first time in Radhades, so I was also hinted to take a handful, which I did, but instead of offering them openly, I stood behind with my handful of flower petals, like a shy and afraid little kid. I told myself I'll do it later. And finally, I didn't offer them at all, except then in the mind. I seriously felt ashamed that I dared not participate wholeheartedly in this expression of love and appreciation, but I was so overwhelmed by all the grandeur and the opulence, and not used to a worship of a human-like person. Later I became even more bewildered because after accepting the worship of all the persons, of all the Radhades inhabitants, while introducing or beginning your lecture, you thanked everybody and said, a nice attempt is being made, explaining that by our rituals and flower offerings, we cannot please the spiritual master enough. A nice attempt is being made, but we should not think by our endeavor we will ever be able to please the spiritual master. Needless to say, in my newfound state, I was stunned, and I thought that the spiritual master is quite heavy. So this nicely illustrates different aspects of the relationship between the acharya and the disciple. But the sad part is that this disciple is still standing like a little child with a handful of lotus flower petals in his hand, unable to make a proper offering, like performing my service satisfactorily. And this disciple still thinks of the spiritual master as a little heavy when he tells him to get off the mental platform when the disciple is lamenting over the fact that due to the circumstances it is so difficult to engage in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially regarding book distribution. So factors around us may change because the material world is always changing from the conditioned perspective, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is a dynamic movement, so things are changing. So literally the only hope is that one finds a person with a vyavasayatmika buddhir to associate with, to inquire from, to hold on to, and to try to serve. That will never change. So dear Guru Maharaj, thank you for showing us what blissful Krishna consciousness is. Thank you for teaching steadiness. Thank you for your tireless endeavor in protecting your disciples from the onslaught of both Maya and Kali. Thank you for being heavy.
I'm gonna try to do it again, a little flower offering.
Well, I'm glad to hear that I'm a little heavy. Actually, we're not trying to get off the mental platform as much as we're trying to get onto the intellectual platform. It's probably just to say the intellectual platform is one step to the spiritual platform. It's the closest we can get to the spiritual platform. Generally, is first we have to get to the intellectual platform. So the mind tells us so many things. Generally, it's full of fear and anxiety. I mean, I also did book distribution for many years, and I still do it. And the mind always says the same thing: don't do it. It never tells us, oh, there's so many wonderful people out there just waiting for the books. They'll be so happy to see you, and they'll just offer you so much so many donations, you just show them the book and they go, oh, that was why I was that's why I came out here. I was looking for them. Oh, this is about, you know, Vaishnava philosophy. That's what I was always hoping to get out. That generally we in the material world we associate with persons who have the same interests we have. They say birds of a feather, they flock together. And we can't really expect that most people in the material world in Kali Yuga are going to have a great interest in Vaishnav culture and Vaishnav devotees. Those all living entities, not only from the material sense, but knowing well the background of the soul and the supreme soul. And although in the material world there's always going to be some problems and faults, the devotees takes as more significant the devotional service rendered. Sometimes, or as Krishna says, apichatsu durachiro vajante mamananya bhak sadureva samantavyak samyagavyavyasi tohi saha. That even my devotee says if he commits great sinful activities, but because they're engaged in devotional service, they're known as rightly situated. Shipram bhavati dharmatma shazak shantim nigachati kontiya pratidanihi name bhakti pranashasi. Quickly he becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. Declare boldly, O son of Kunti, that my devotee has never perished. Therefore, rather than criticizing the devotees for real or imagined faults, we should try to cooperate with them and try to see how they're engaged in devotional service and therefore being pleasing to Krishna, making some spiritual progress. The second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. In the material world, everyone's chanting some name. Everyone is thinking someone is powerful. Everyone is thinking someone is important. But by study and by experience, we should become convinced that there's no one more important than Krishna is. And although some people may take others as important, we know that for ourselves and our real welfare in life, Krishna is the most important, and that no one, even the great demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, can be compared to him. What to speak of the less important persons in this material world, who are being glorified by so many different means. And the third offense is to consider to blaspheme the Vedic literature, a literature which is in pursuance of the Vedic version. There are many things in the Vedas that are beyond our understanding, but that doesn't mean that we should become discouraged or frustrated or think that this is all inconceivable and I'll never be able to understand it. We should try to understand what's understandable to us in the present time. Therefore, for that reason, it's advised that we stay mostly in reading the Bhagavad Gita, Nectar of Devotion, Srimad Bhagavatam, the first and second cantos, because these things are, generally, we'll find some part of it which is within our experience, which is, we'll be able to grasp and understand and apply within our daily lives. If we read too much far from these things, many times, things will become inconceivable to us, we'll feel like we'll have some doubts, we'll become deviated by all kinds of speculations and controversies, and instead of being happy in Krishna consciousness, being assured that we're going back to the spiritual world just by following basic instructions, we'll get all confused and bewildered and frustrated. In the spiritual world, the gopis and the cowherd boys, they don't really care where the moon and the sun is or anywhere else in the material world is. They're just happy to play with Krishna and dance with him. So devotional service should be kept as simple as possible. Although our material experience is explained within the literature also, and therefore we should try to understand how things are related to Krishna, but if we don't understand everything perfectly how it's related to Krishna, at least we should try and fix our minds upon Krishna. The next offense is consider to minimize or disobey the orders of the spiritual master, or consider him just like an ordinary person. The extraordinary quality of the spiritual master or any devotee is that they're a devotee. that they're engaged in devotional service, even in this material world. One time Prabhupada said that we shouldn't be surprised who goes, we should be surprised who stays. Because this is a world where Maya, it's Maya's kingdom. She's been capturing souls since time immemorial. She's quite expert at it. She's kept unlimited living entities in her service since time immemorial. So if she has a few others, we shouldn't be very much surprised. But, no, that's all right. Don't worry about it. All right, you can just stay there. So that's probably... Yeah, it's easier otherwise. I can't sit. Therefore, the spiritual master, any devotee who is repeating the message of Krishna, must be considered extraordinary in this world, as we see that people are not flocking from everywhere in Belgium to attend these ceremonies. If we were having a movie, I don't know what the latest movies are, maybe some late movie, a premiere here, that people would be flocking to Radhadesh. But because we're talking about Krishna, people are not so interested. Therefore, anyone who's talking about Krishna, sincerely trying to make spiritual advancement or explaining to Krishna to others, has to be taken as something unusual or extraordinary. And as far as the orders coming from the spiritual master, the orders of the spiritual master should be considered to be coming from Krishna. Therefore, it's for our benefit to take Krishna's instructions coming down through the simple succession and apply them, because that's our method of actually becoming pleasing Krishna. And if Krishna is pleased, then our spiritual life is successful. Maybe we're not going to get popularity or fame or anything material back, but if we feel Krishna's happiness, we get his blessings, his mercy, then we'll actually understand what it means to be successful in life. The next offense is to take pictures while someone is speaking. Oh, that's not one of the 10 offenses.
That's another one.
Fifth offense is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as the glories or as imagination. We hear much about the glories of the holy name, and until we chant the holy name, we may not experience the glories very much. But that's not due to the fact that the holy name is not perfect and powerful. It does not have all the qualities expressed in the literature. It's just that it's not so easy to chant the holy name. The holy name can only be chanted by one who's purified their senses, more or less when we're in ecstasy, completely in love with Krishna, and in ecstasy, then we'll have the power to chant the holy name. Because Krishna reveals himself in proportion to our loving service, according to our desire. And we can only desire Krishna intensely when we find out how ecstatic it is to associate with him. So that will gradually be manifested to us. But in the meantime, you hear about how the holy name, all the different potencies, that it's all exactly the same as Krishna, that it's the life of all transcendental knowledge, increases the ocean of transcendental bliss. We shouldn't consider it imagination. We should simply understand that it may take some time before I'll be able to chant the holy name in such a way as to realize it in full. And the sixth offense is consider the chanting Hare Krishna, to give some mundane interpretation on the holy name. Many people may, if there is an effect, then they give some materialistic reason for it. Even there was one famous poet, and he was chanting Hare Krishna, associating with Prabhupada in the early 60s, or the late 60s, and he said that the reason why the holy name is so effective is because it causes hyperventilation. So maybe for him it worked that way. But that was his interpretation. Actually, the holy name is Namas Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. As Krishna is all good, so the holy name is all good also. And as we become good, then the holy name will become better. we'll realize how nice the holy name really is. And the seventh offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. That's very common in the Western world, or in any world, I guess, in the material world, is consider that the chanting of the holy name is so powerful that by chanting it, all my sinful activities are eradicated. Sometimes it says for many, many birth times. So, if so many sins are eradicated, and if you commit a few sins in this lifetime, what's the big deal? I'll just chant a few names, and those will be eradicated along with so many other lifetimes. So that type of mentality will not be very helpful, because as it says, maybe our sinful activities may be eradicated by chanting the holy name. Unfortunately, the reaction for that sin or for that offense will be more severe than the reaction for the sin committed. Therefore, while we're chanting the holy name, we should try to avoid sinful activities at the same time. And the eighth offense is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic activities which are offered in the Vedas as fruitive activities of karmakanda. Now, there are many auspicious activities in this world that will give us wealth. Nowadays, people don't think that by performing Vedic activities, then I'll actually get material opulence. They think that by getting some money, I can buy whatever I need. But as I tried to explain this morning, one may get money, but there's nothing to buy anymore that's of any value. People, practically speaking, they have to look around if they want organic food. Maybe 100 years ago, there was no question of organic food. There was only organic food. Now you have to pay extra for organic food. You have to pay extra so they don't put chemicals and fertilizers, pesticides, insecticides, whatever else they put on it. And as far as money won't buy you sleeping. Maybe it'll buy you sleeping pills, but it can't buy you any peace of mind to sleep. It can't buy you nice relationships. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was a friend of Muhammad Ali. You know Muhammad Ali? He was always in anxiety, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, because he felt he had no friends. Everyone who associated with him was trying to get something out of him. So he always felt very lonely. Although he was very popular, he was known at one time as the most famous person on this planet, but he always felt very lonely, that everyone was trying to exploit him.
The best man ever lived, he called himself.
The best man who ever lived. Well, he was... wasn't
the most powerful man ever lived.
Most powerful. Well, he had a few things left to learn, I guess. Got hit in the head a few times. Actually, he got some brain damage by being hit in the head. So. In any case, material wealth will not buy us anything in this world, at least in this Kali Yuga. But by performing karmakandic activities, one will actually get rain at the proper time, one will get sunshine, one will get the things that are actually valuable in this world, but they're all temporary. One may even go to the heavenly planets for some time, but in the heavenly planets, they also have their problems there. As we were reading today, even Brahma has his problems. That they even have their wars. Virtasura, when he was fighting against the demigods, he was stepping on them like little ants. So just imagine you spend thousands of years trying to become a demigod. You wind up in the fight between some big demon and you, and you get stepped on like an ant. And then you're back in downtown Brussels. So it's not considered super auspicious to go to the heavenly planets. It's considered tridasha pur akasha pushpayate, just like a flower in the sky. Or detendriya kalasarpa patali prokate damstrayate. Or even to get the power of the yogis is not considered to be the ultimate either, because one may get some extraordinary power for some time, but it won't last forever. But if we chant Hare Krishna and we become eligible to go back to the spiritual world, then the happiness there is unimaginable to us now. That here we get a little taste, if we get a little prasadam, maybe we feel good a little bit because someone says something nice to us. But there, at every moment, it's everything is full of taste. Incredible, so much so that one is overwhelmed by every experience, every person, every emotion, everything is overwhelming. But because our consciousness increases proportionally, our ability to relish taste increases also. Therefore, there is unbelievable, unlimited, ever-expanding amount of happiness in the spiritual consciousness. So to compare that to a little bit of material happiness is not exactly the same thing. And the ninth offense is to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the Holy Name. So generally we should try to explain things so that people can understand them. Because most of the things that people will understand will understand also. As soon as we start saying things that we don't understand, we can be sure that no one else will understand them. Or if we're explaining something to someone, they don't look like they're understanding it, it's probably we haven't understood it either. Or we haven't understood that we shouldn't explain things in such a way that people... We should explain things in such a way that people should understand them. Therefore, Prabhupada stresses that in the beginning we should explain how this world is related to Krishna. It's hard enough for us to understand how this world and everyone else in it is related to Krishna. So that's what we should basically explain to people. That way we'll get to understand it. Once we go beyond that platform, then things become very difficult to understand. Sometimes the devotees get into arguments over where the soul came from and why we fell here, etc., etc. But, as Prabhupada said, these things are inconceivable to us, and it doesn't really make any difference. Therefore, we should stick to understanding how the material nature works, how it's binding us, how it can liberate us, how the chanting of the Holy Name can free us, what the proper way of chanting the Holy Name is, and try to explain it to people in such ways that they can understand it. Especially just to explain to people the difference between their body and their self, their mind and themselves. Prabhupada spent years explaining it. Even if we listened to Prabhupada's last purpose, he was explaining that everything here belongs to Krishna, everything is meant for Krishna's pleasure, and that Krishna is the real friend of everyone, and that's called Krishna consciousness. So if we can understand these basic things, then we'll become Krishna conscious. And the last offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. In other words, we just have to make a little effort. When we catch ourselves not making an effort, we shouldn't become so disappointed that we decide not to make any more effort. I'm such a rascal, I'm not making any effort, so I'm once a rascal, always a rascal. No, as soon as we see that we're not making an effort, that we're not paying attention, then we have to make an effort. Not that, you know, I'm too deep in Maya to get out, so I might as well go for the ride, see where it brings me. No, as soon as we see that we're not paying attention, then put the mind back on Krishna, put the mind back on trying to chant very nicely, and then we'll forget. Gradually it'll all go away, all our materialistic thoughts, and therefore we'll once again be back in Krishna consciousness, and hopefully the next time we're seeing ourselves bewildered by material attachments, that more quickly we take shelter of the holy name. Until one comes to the platform of Asakti, there's every chance of becoming deviated from Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have to constantly practice. For that reason, we have regulated devotional service, regulated trying to chant the holy name a fixed number of rounds a day, so that during that time at least, we should make an effort to fix our mind on Krishna. Because there's no harm outside the 16 rounds also, trying to fix the mind upon Krishna. But at least during that time, we should make a special effort to try and chant without as nicely as possible. And we should make sure that we're making progress. And progress means that I'm becoming detached from things that are withdrawing my conceptions, that are withdrawing my mind away from Krishna, I'm actually feeling happier. I'm actually learning how to become more in the mode of goodness and seeing things in relationship to Krishna. And my feelings towards Krishna, I'm actually seeing Krishna as a nice person. Not only is he a nice person, but he's an unlimitedly nice person. We may be nice, we may like ourselves, but when we find out that Krishna is unlimitedly nice, we'll like him even more than ourselves, which is kind of hard to believe. When you see even that even our little tiny selves were all also included within Krishna. So if we love ourselves, then not obviously we'll love Krishna because we're included within Krishna. But also everyone's included within Krishna and more. So that's, and then the second initiation means to samadhamas tapasocham shanti arjum evacha jnana vijnanam asti jnana brahma karma sabhavajam. Our purpose is to come to the mode of goodness. It is not that we're coming to the mode of goodness because we ourselves as spiritual souls, we're transcendental to the mode of goodness. We're all purely good. But because we're conditioned by the illusory energy, by the three modes, therefore we're sometimes thinking we're passionate, sometimes we're thinking we're ignorant. But when we come to the mode of goodness, we'll find out we're none of these things. We're souls. We're not the body. But in the modes of ignorance and passion, we're thinking we're these things. Well, it has nothing to do with us. It's just like a dream at night. And the process of coming to the mode of goodness is by the process of brahminical, coming to the brahminical activities. Preaching about Krishna, deity worship, or just following the devotional activities are all of pure goodness. What to speak of goodness? Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda, he gave his followers brahminical initiation just to demonstrate that if one becomes a Vaishnav, then automatically brahminical initiation is included within it. So this becoming a Brahmin or Brahmini is not the perfection of our life, but it just indicates that we've taken the devotional process seriously enough that we've gotten a little glimpse of the mode of goodness, and therefore if we continue on with the process, that gradually we'll actually come to associate with Krishna, and his ever liberated devotees will become their instruments, their servants, and therefore we'll have a clear direction in life how to engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. And in order to help that, we can engage in deity worship, we can preach, we can whatever brahminical initiation, which is including chanting Gayatri Mantra. We're chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. Sometimes our mind is wandering, but we're not even noticing it. But chanting Gayatri Mantra, we're using the mind, so hopefully we'll be able to see when our mind's wandering, when we're chanting Gayatri at least. Of course, we have to chanting Gayatri, we actually have to chant Gayatri also. So it's another opportunity to engage the mind in Krishna's service, engage our activities and things that are brahminical. But it's also, all these things are meant to help us chant the holy name more attentively and more feelingly. The holy name is the method in this age, but to help us fix ourselves in the chanting of the holy name, deity worship is recommended, of which brahminical initiation gives us an opportunity to engage in different types of deity worship. We have to put neck beads on. So I'll just stop there. Put neck beads on?
Yes. You can put the neck beads on, or can somebody help them to put the neck beads on? You have to loose the lock first.
Someone will help the ladies put on neck beads? Oh, you don't have to. No, second. You're getting second initiation or first? Second.
Take his garland off first, otherwise. Make it a little short.
You can work it out later, I think. Okay.
Now the vows and the name.
Okay.
Maybe you can sit a little backwards so there's some place to pay to pay your obeisances to the spiritual master after when you do the vows.
Oh, so you can pay obeisances first to Prabhupada.
Yeah.
Prabhupada's right there. Who's Radha and Krishna deities are those?
Mother Yadbhadra.
Oh. Oh, nice. What's their names? Radha Govinda Madhava. That sounds like New Mayapur. Okay.
Shall I go over there?
Yeah, sure. Prabhupada's there. Wait a second. Dimitri. You don't have to go.
Thank you. You waited longer than you.
So, what are the four regular principles?
No meat eating, no sex, no intoxication, and no gambling.
And how many rounds do you chant every day?
At least 16.
Yes. Also, we're advised that to ask you to follow the authority of ISKCON, especially the DVC authority. So, your name will be Mukunda Dutt. So what are the four regular principles?
No about sex, no meat, eating, no gambling, no intoxication.
And how many rounds do you chant every day?
16.
Okay? Minimum. You can come over here, so. There. Okay. So your name will be Damodar Das. Sacrifice?
Yeah. So,
gonna have a really elaborate one?
No, I will do a short one.
Oh yeah.
So, but we have to do a vow of sankalpa first. Put some water in your head like this. I'll do some things. Om Tat Sat Sri Govindo Govindo Asyam Subhapitao Achutra Gotra Prema Siridas Sri Krishna Priti Artham Upanayanam Samskara Karmaham Karishyami.
What does
now
that
you
mean?
Have to throw the water.
What does that mean?
Well, this is going to be an initiation fire, samskara, upanayam.
Yeah.
That's the ceremony. Karmaham. Probably I perform it.
Yeah.
And Achyuta Gotra, I'm in the family
of Achyuta Gotra.
Of Achyuta Gotra, Prema Siddhi. And Sri Govinda, Om Tat Sat. That's what you say before every sacrifice, yeah, says in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
To make it.
Om indicates Krishna.
Krishna Priti Artham. Sri Krishna, Priti.
Priti
artham.
Is love.
Priti
artham.
Love. Artham.
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 Doing.
Doing.
Sri Krishna, So I'm doing it with love for Krishna.
Ah, okay. Sorry? Oh, yeah, you just have to pull the water on the floor through your fingers.
For the rest of the ceremony.
It's already gone. Om Prabhupati Vishnu Rishi Brihat Chandra Sri Vishnu Devata Agni Stapane Viniyoga Om Bhuva Sva Om. Still burning, but the big wood didn't catch fire.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.